The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Welcome to the 365 Message Center show, where you can plan for change, prevent or fix, and stay informed with Daniel Glenn.
That's me.
Yeah, and Daryl Webster. Daryl is a service. All right. It's a Monday morning for you, Daniel, isn't it?
It is. Well, it's Monday afternoon now.
Okay.
It's actually bright and early, high noon is what I was going to say. Yep.
Okay. But does it feel like a Monday after all the technical difficulties?
Yes. It feels very much like a Monday. I had a interesting weekend with, I've been sick, and so it's not been wonderful, but I'm on the mends, and I'm on the mend. That's how I say it, right? I'm on the mend, and I am ready to rock this message center.
That is awesome. All right. We do have a few things to get through. And today, look, if I sum it up, it does feel like a back of house day. There are some things that our regular people who get to touch the stuff and use it every day for productivity, there's a few things in there for us, but it's essentially it's back of house, isn't it?
For the most part, yes, it is. Yeah. There's some really awesome, there's a couple of things in here that I'm really excited about. But I will like to say, if you allow me, Daryl, that last week we had the wonderful Microsoft Surface event that happened, and with a lot of hardware that was announced, and it was, I think, pretty well received, and I'm pretty excited about it. I'm just wondering if you're kind of excited. There's one of those announcements that I'm not excited about, but I'm wondering what you thought about the announcements of all the Surface hardware that was
released. A lot of stuff there. And for a gadget freak who probably shouldn't spend money on gadgets and shouldn't be evaluating whether or not a current device is good enough or not. Oh, whoops, it fell on the floor. No, I don't do that sort of thing. I really like the Surface Pro X.
Okay.
Could talk about that for a little bit, just that it's a quite a change from the processing platform, right? So going to a more mobile chip, but being optimized for power. But my goodness, having that pen in the keyboard, folding it out, it's there. It solves one of the main complaints people have about the Surface and whether or not they actually use the pen, because they're always leaving it, so they just leave it in their bag.
I've never had the issue,
no?
But okay. No, I never have lost the pen. I've never had the issue, but that's me, and that's okay. But I'm really excited about the Laptop 3. Most people probably know that know me, I have a Surface 1, a V1 product, and I'm still using it 2 years after it was given to me. And it's amazing, and I love it. And so seeing the new version of the Surface Laptop has got me pretty excited. I'd like to get another one, but depends on how you look at it. I will say, fortunately for me, my Surface Laptop's rocking it. It's doing great. I've had, no issues with it. Yes, I've done a Windows refresh on it, right? But that was not really a necessity. It was just because I wanted to. And it's been doing well, so I probably will just stick with it until it doesn't work anymore. But so I would, if I just had money thrown at me, I would take that money and buy a Surface Laptop 3. Right. I was not excited, Daryl.
Yes.
Can you guess what I was not excited about?
Surface earbuds.
Yeah, those earbuds are just ugly, and I'm hoping that they're highly functional and that they do the job well. I would love to have them because I think it promises an interesting experience when you're presenting and integration with PowerPoint and doing that kind of thing, maybe.
I don't know, blah, 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 next slide. Next slide.
Maybe, yeah.
Next slide.
Well,
instead of inevitable.
Exactly. That, or I think it actually could work. I think The other thing I was thinking about was also closed captioning, you know, the captions on PowerPoint, using that as an audio device. So it would pull double duty for that.
Yeah.
But they're ugly as all get out. And I'm sorry for whoever was on the design team on those, but it's just ugly, just this big, huge, it's like a mini Surface dial sticking out of your ear. it's just ugly. I don't know. Anyway,
I think Star Trekkers will not have a problem with it, because I mean the whole, you know, Uhura's one just stuck like about 5 feet out of her ear.
Yeah.
Sorry, Trekkies. But I mean we're avoiding the couple of things that probably cause the most excitement. I'm going to start with the one that I would choose out of the two, Surface Neo. Wow. As a productivity device, okay, it's not about a whole lot of power, although there is some there. You wouldn't be rendering videos on it, but dual screen and so innovative with that keyboard as well, how it just folds over and it makes a almost like a trackpad when it's down the bottom or what is it called? Like, I don't know, very, very functional function keys above that.
Right. Yep.
Two screen. Al had some good thoughts around that too. The way he said that, here's a device that didn't try and do it as a foldable screen, not one single foldable screen and worrying about dust and things coming out of the way and glue coming out. They just said, nah, we're going to do two screens. There's going to be bezel. It's going to be minimal, but we're going to design it so that it's still about multifunction or multitasking. It looks gorgeous.
I agree with that. So in the chat room, they're saying someone said that your volume may be quiet.
Yeah, I saw that. I've tried to boost it.
Okay.
Suzanne, you said it was a little quiet. So yeah, let me know if it's good.
All right, let's dive into this, Darryl. We've got a few things to
okay,
talk
no,
about.
Okay, no, briefly.
Oh, no,
briefly.
No.
Come on, you started this. Okay. You started this.
I did start it.
A Surface Duo running on Android. Yes. No, we're not re-announcing anything new here, but when it was announced, what the...
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
And no, because the Windows Phone was a major fail. It was, and I think everyone knows why it was a major fail. It was a major fail because of apps, because they just could not get it to be a lucrative and an appealing place for developers. So instead of going, oh, we're going to, you know, use Windows 10X or something on this to you know, a different version of Windows, basically, to do this, and then having to branch out and have different versions of Windows, you know, all this kind of stuff, and then try to get people to keep developing on it. They said, fine, let's go with something that is a proven platform. So I'm okay with it using that software. That it is interesting with the whole, you know, being competitors with Google and all that kind of stuff. So that part is interesting. But if you look at Microsoft's take on open source and take on that whole kind of community, I am not surprised at all that they're going with Android.
Yeah,
not at all.
It's actually continuing that story of their choice with Edge going to Chromium.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, right. a lot of things there. I know this is not a hardware show, but you brought it up, Daniel, and I'm a gadget freak. So
I did. It was good.
Let's get into it. We have. Microsoft Compliance Manager permissions are changing, introducing the Microsoft Compliance Store. I'm kind of reintroducing it to a different place. That's MC191927. So this is a major update, which is something for us to do by 1st of November. I guess just to say that you need to find it somewhere else.
Yes.
But yeah, there's been that shuffling around Compliance Center and Security Center, and that they're together and they're not. And they're,
right.
But something that's interesting about this, and I know you pick up on this often, is it actually involves GCC customers this time.
Yes, it does. And that is, it's nice. I really, when they can, I enjoy them being able to incorporate GCC, which is the U.S. government cloud customers. I think the key there is, I don't know that, is this new functionality? I mean, it is, but is it true new functionality, or is it just a way of reporting on whatever is already there? And so I think it's a pretty easy way for them to go ahead and roll in GCC, because it's not saying, oh, here's this new function that needs to be proven and it has to be tested. It has to be, you know, yada, yada, which is all the new functionality has to go through for the government cloud. It just, it's just adding a score on top of whatever's there. So, yes, I really enjoy them when being able to bring in the functionality, the new features with everyone, not just non-government cloud.
Yeah. Now, as a preface here, or suffix, I don't know, now that we've started talking about it, neither Daniel or I work heavily in the security space, so it's not like we're familiar with this, but where the permissions are changing, this is actually quite one of the longer messages we get in the message center, so it has a lot of detail. But it's around the roles that are used to access this capability. So as it shifts into a different place in the admin center as a whole, it's about making sure that you've got the right role there to view that information.
Yep.
And then just making sure that the compliance score is available to be seen. Maybe it is a new thing, because it was a security score before. Now it's a compliance score.
I understand, but it is a new thing, but it's not a new functionality. It's just separating that out for the compliance, or introducing the compliance score as a thing itself. Again, it's not a new thing you can turn on that affects your users. It's not a way of sharing that you would have to have tested. You know, it's none of that, right? It's just the score.
That's right.
That's the way I feel about it.
Yeah. All right. Keeping on moving. This is something that I know will be causing some excitement in the SharePoint world, and people who are trying to guide you towards things like news and interacting with content to keep you going. You can take this one, Dan. Go ahead.
Well, and this is MC192001. This is the updated SharePoint start page experience. And if you, this is the where you go to and click SharePoint in your environment, and what do you get? Right now you get the UI that has a bunch of tiles, and it has tiles for sites and tiles for news, well, for files.
Favorite.
And suggested stuff.
Yeah.
But for the new start page, you're going to have news on the top, you're going to have sites, and then you're going to have links and documents, which I actually like the way they're treating documents now. Before, a document was a tile. So it's like, I don't want to deal with that. But on the current page, documents are not there. They're just not. It's all about sites and about what sites you've been visiting. The new version, we're going to have news, like you mentioned. We're going to have sites like we have before. And then have a tabbed experience for the sites.
I like that better than it being split out to frequent and followed.
Yep,
to take up page space.
Yeah, I do too. And then below, I really like, and it kind of looks like a footer, but because it's gray, but having the featured links, the recent documents, and the saved for later, and that's saved for later that you've done, and I think the way the documents are listed, it's not a card. It's just a list of the documents that you've recently been working with. And I think it's cleaner for me. It's a little less busy, but it still gets me the information that I need. I'm really liking this change. And it says it's gradually rolling out to targeted release customers early October, which right now is early October, and will be rolling out to all customers on November 1st of this year. And this maps to roadmap, the Microsoft 365 roadmap, ID 54821. I think that's about it. Oh, and you don't need to do anything to prepare for this change, of course.
Except tell people that it might look a little different. If anything, the change in behavior, if you're used to seeing frequent and followed in separate places, one thing that might catch you out initially is that it's a tab view. And
that's right.
Think about this. I mean, sometimes I find that the frequent site list isn't really the frequent sites that I frequent. So I usually go to the followed ones because they're more like my bookmarks, and I just find them down there. Either way, it looks like you can go in and see all anyway if you get through to your tab view. So there might be an extra click or two for you. Right. But that's cool. Good landing page. This next message is more for admins. And like rightly so, if you see it in your own admin center, do note those little icons that are beside messages. They do mean something. The admin center is going to be showing messages, particularly around advisory posts, incident posts, and message center posts in your local time, not UTC. So that's message center MC192008. I wonder what happens to the ones between 1 and 8.
I don't know, Daryl. I think we probably should. Sometime. We should ask. Yeah, we should ask Mike.
Yeah. So yeah, that's really the change there. But I like it because, you know, it's certainly a bit of confusion when you see this UTC time and you think, well, when was this actually posted? And then you have to do your mental math a bit to translate it back to your local time.
Right.
We have all this. I've got an opinion about this one. Opinion.
Well, that's good. That's why we have a show, Daryl.
Yeah. You know, it's a sorry, Shay. Yeah. Updated feature, updating default settings for live captions and subtitles in live events policy. And it's MC192112. What do you understand this feature to be, Daniel?
This is, excuse me, the captions and subtitles for when you're doing a live event. So we know live event is a feature that is powered by Teams. And in this case, right, when you're sharing your, when you're going through and doing the producing, if you're doing that through Teams, then you're going to have an option to select captions to be turned on and to show this, you know, the selected language that you choose. Actually, multiple languages.
Yeah, and I suggest it would be powered by the same engine that we see that in PowerPoint. That if you fire up PowerPoint, which, by the way, like the other day I discovered this actually is available even in PowerPoint Online. So if you chose to open up a PowerPoint within PowerPoint Online, you didn't open up in the desktop version. I guess that's the only other choice. Mobile app. No. But I think it's the same engine. And I guess that is actually a feature a bit later on. It's the last one on the message list. But this is all kind of related. It's about changing the policy, events policy for that. Now, the reason that I have a thought about this is that they turn it on by default. And I get it. It's about trying to make sure that you know that the feature's there and that even for accessibility reasons, you know, as if to say, like, hey, you really, it'd be really good to turn this on to make sure you're including everybody in this broadcast so that, you know, those who are hearing impaired or those who are listening in noisy environments can read the content as it appears. So those are good reasons. But the thing that changes the behavior now, and this is the one you have to note, if you're organizing a meeting and you don't plan to use it, or maybe, as we'll see a bit later, the first language that has been released is English US, and it doesn't do a great job of translating your New Zealand Australian accent, then it's on by default. And if you forget to turn it off when you're creating your meetings, it's on.
Yeah, and this one is specifically about live events. And I think if you think about live events and what the purpose is, it really is for a mass group who are not interacting with you. They're watching an event or a town hall or something, getting news. And it seems to be to me that it should be on by default. I think for those that have an issue with the system not understanding the way you talk, you should just, you know, get another way of talking.
spend 6 months in the US and pick up our accent, please. Sorry, there's Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson's been in the US for how many years, worked for Microsoft, and he still sounds Kiwi. Thank you, Chris.
I have empathy for you. I don't understand. I mean, I have an accent.
Yeah.
It can get really bad if, anyway. But it's, I think this is one of those where I'm like, I like this idea.
Yeah.
Yes, it could be interesting if, because there's not going to be a Kiwi drop down for
probably
the
not
original language. So that's, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. All for accessibility and making sure that people understand what's been said, can read it. But yeah, this is the tricky thing. Like, my suggestion would be if you know that this engine's going to have trouble translating what you say, and it's going to be a distraction. That's part mm-hmm. of the problem when it translates right. a word which is way off.
Right.
Then, sometimes I suggest that you turn that off and maybe wait for, what have they got covered? I think the English UK probably may do a better translation for us.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, yeah, we're talking a bit more ahead of another announcement, way ahead. It's the last one on the list. Let's move along with OneDrive SharePoint email language localization. The email that comes out. To tell us about stuff that's been shared with us, or you know, any kind of message in that regard. MC192179, the email language would be localized based on the language that you've chosen in your Office 365 settings.
Yeah, and I think this is the first thing. Bear with me. The first thing I thought about when I saw this message was, and this is where using the cloud, you get a benefit. Whereas if you were on-prem, then you probably have customized those emails like crazy. And it's one of the first things we get questioned on when we implement on-prem, SharePoint on-prem is, oh, this is an interesting email. How can I customize it? How can I put my own logo on it? How can I blah, blah, blah? Well, there's two ways of doing that. One is you customize the underlying template, which is never the method is the suggested method, because when you do an update to SharePoint, it probably is going to override it. Might override it. The second way was you don't allow SharePoint to email, you create your own emails and use workflow. But here we are seeing if you do something like that, then you wouldn't get this benefit, right? So we're in the cloud and we get this benefit of we don't have to do anything. These emails are going to be translated for us and sent out in the native language for us. Not having to deal with that, I think is fantastic. I'm loving this. But that was my first thought was, back to the day, well, still doing it, but back to the days of the first question, how can I customize these emails? Oh, my goodness.
Or like in internal comms, that gets, they might be more specific saying, look, it's not quite wording things the way that we want it to. It's not in line with the way we talk about this experience or feature. Can we customize it ourselves? I think the only thing that could really massively improve this, and it would take a lot of work, is having full access to creating your own templates for each of those kinds of messages and all the varying languages that you might translate it to. But this is good. Like you said, there is nothing you need to do, whereas there would be something you need to do with a feature like that. A lot of work. Yep. How about this one? Voice administration for Teams Admin Center. And this is MC192204. It's more specific about customers that are using Microsoft Calling or Cloud Calling or what is it called these days? I think it's probably down here somewhere. If you are subscribing to that as an organization, then where it used to be in Skype for Business Online, you could grab the phone numbers that you wanted to use for calling. You could manage them It's search and acquire a phone number. Put in information about where the physical address is for emergency services to come find you. All those sorts of things are now managed out of the Teams admin center and not the Skype for Business Online center.
Which, we're not surprised, right?
Yeah.
Because the Skype Online center, admin center is going away, just like Skype for Business is going away in Office 365. So moving this admin functions, we're going to see a lot of these. It's going to continue to just moving stuff out of Skype.
It's interesting, like the stuff that I've got highlighted there on the screen for those on the podcast, the format of this message is Voice Admin Center, Teams Admin Center. It's going through and these made a kind of a big deal about these bullet points about acquiring numbers and assigning addresses and regions and sites. But what I think is probably more significant is being able to configure auto attendance and call queues. If you're any kind of business that wants to try and have a flow that someone calls a certain number and it goes out to a hunt group or it goes to an auto attendant that says press 1 for this and 2 for that, this is the feature that's becoming available. So I think that's probably a bigger deal than anything. But yeah, again, you don't need to do anything for this change except tell people what to expect.
Exactly. We're in the middle of this rollout. I just want to highlight the fact that this announcement was added October 2nd with starting October 4th, which, no, that's not 30 days. And the rollout will be completed worldwide October 11th.
So, like this week?
Yeah. So 9 days from announcement, it's scheduled to be done worldwide. So just want to highlight the fact that that's not what we expect in the Message Center. We expect a little bit more timely notice than that.
If you're rolling out Microsoft Calling right now, then you'll be looking in a different place in a few days to do stuff. So those of you who are in the middle of those kinds of rollouts, know that things are changing. Service Health Dashboard email notifications. These are super helpful for those who are not visiting the admin center regularly. They need that kind of reminder because their workflow where they work is from email. It says the Service Health Dashboard. Oh, sorry, MC 192.283. There's my anchor point.
Well, you took away my job because I was about to say that. So,
you took away my job. Do you remember Galaxy Quest? Do you remember the movie Galaxy Quest?
Yes.
Yeah, and there was that one job that Sigourney Weaver had to do, which was to repeat everything the computer had to say. You are more valuable to me than that, Dan. Just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Not my Sigourney Weaver. Yeah. For those on the podcast, how would I describe this face? How would you describe this face, chat room? We'll come back.
Anyways,
to
that. Go ahead. Let's back to the message. And so being able to sign up for emails, and it's not just yourself, but you can send to other emails. And I have a suggestion for this. But to sign up for emails for different services when there are health incidents. So this is when service is down, degraded, you know, having an issue connecting, whatever. And my suggestion for this is actually to use an Office 365 group. And you can put the group email address in there rather than individual emails and have those announcements going to that group. Then you could do some workflow, you could do lots of things with that information, but that's my suggestion, is to use a distribution group or you know, go ahead and use an Office 365 group for those notifications. And it could be the same group that you've already created, right? That where you keep track of announcements and you keep track of what you need to be keeping up with in the changes to Office 365. So I might as well go ahead and reuse it for this as well. But
yeah. You know, a good point to that too is that it apparently takes up to 8 hours for the initial opt-in. So if you want it now, and you want to be able to adjust that group as soon as possible to take effect, then you drop that group in. Or Phil Worrell says you could use a channel, add email address in Teams as well. So you've got those options.
Well, and yes, that's the idea. So if you, yes, if you want to use a channel email address, fine, go for it. That was my idea, was that putting it in a place where we can keep track of it, where we can do something with it, and have more than one person, you know, dealing with it. So
yeah. Yep.
Thanks, Phil.
Upcoming changes to Yammer GDPR process. Now, what Message Center ID was that, Daniel?
That is. Hi, I'm Sigourney. MC192363.
Actually, if you were Sigourney, you'd be repeating what I said.
Yeah. Right. I'm sorry. That's true.
Oh, computer says that it's MC192363.
Anyway, computer.
Keep going, Daryl. This is boring. For those of you who haven't seen Galaxy Quest, go and see it. It's a bit of a laugh.
And then come back and listen to our show again.
Yeah, then you'll get all the stupid references. Yes. Customer feedback has indicated our current process for handling GDPR subject requests in Yammer is complicated.
Yes, that is right.
So we've resolved it. good. Good. So they're simplifying the process.
Yes.
So you've got remove a user workflow and reviewing and deleting messages. So these allow you to comply with some GDPR requests, which of course, forget me. I want to be forgotten. Remove me from a user workflow or delete my messages from your system.
Mm-hmm.
They have made that a lot easier than however it was before.
It wasn't easy. And being able to put, I haven't done it myself. Mm. My clients are not subject to GDPR. Well, okay. Most of them are anyway. Placing the network in a hard delete mode, you know, to honor a GDPR data subject request, I think is a bit risky. Not risky. I mean, it was just the part of the process. So not being able to, not having to do that, I think is a great thing.
Yeah.
But you know, increasing the ease at which you can honor these will help actually organizations adopt the platform, because when they understand that not only will it be fulfilling a business need, but it'll also help them, or when they get requests like this, it'll be easy, then, you know, adoption, I think, would go up. Yeah.
The last one on the list, which we kind of half covered as we were talking about live captions earlier. So new feature, live captions in English US available in Teams meetings. Now that's to say available in Teams meetings, not just live meetings.
Right.
So we talked about live meetings before or live events. This now makes it available for, any of your meetings in Teams.
And I love it. I think for me, there probably will be times when you turn it off, but especially the point that you brought up earlier with someone who the system is not really getting their accent well, then, you know, you might want to turn it off because it might be distracting, because people start looking at the captioning to see how goofy it is, what funny words. But again, I do like this being able to be, don't assume people are like you. And in this case, don't assume people can hear the same way you can hear or understand what you're saying as quickly as you're saying it. And being able to have those live captions, it's a big deal. Yes, will there be issues? Yes, there will be. But will it happen the majority of the time? I don't think so. I think there'll be outliers. And I think more and more meetings will be using this technology and will be, it'll just be a norm.
The difference between this one and the live events one is that it relies on the attendee to turn it on, right? Because as a live event participant, you are there and basically whatever the producers are choosing, they will choose to turn on the live captions or not. You're just a participant. Of course, you can chat and interact that way. But as a meeting participant, it looks like this is something that if you want to use it, you turn it on. It is in preview too, by the way, and you need to select it. Yeah, so yeah, it's available for you. And
what is the rollout? I didn't see worldwide by the end of November, and gradually rolling out in early November. So right. we have a month before it starts rolling out. There is some policy updates that you might want to look at to see if you want to change the default way this is happening. So if you're an admin of Teams, then definitely be looking at this to via PowerShell and whether you want to change these policies or not. But I would highly suggest you keep them on. I just would. Yes, there will be some issues, like I said before, but I think the majority of the time it's going to be beneficial.
Yeah. It's making it available, at least.
Mm-hmm.
That's it in terms of messages. There was just one thing I wanted to call out to that. Remember, we are starting to use a couple of hashtags in the social realm around talking about change. So there's hashtag M365 change for change and hashtag M365 alert for any outages and things and weird behavior where you think, hey, is anyone else feeling me here? And it is being used. So great. Thank you for the community that are starting to use it to talk about change. Even here with Manfred was using it to talk about even change in devices, which is kind of cool. And there was something last week too around Planner that changed. What was it? The priority field.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
it disappeared and came back. It seems.
Oh,
for
right.
Some
that's
people.
Right. That's right. And then the other thing that I saw that Phil was commenting on was about when you assign a task to someone, it prompts you to add them to the group if they're not a member of the group already.
Yeah.
And then if you remove them from the group, though, the task is still assigned to them, but do they still have access? You know, and that kind of holds things. So I think just keep that in mind when you're working. I think I haven't seen a follow-up from Phil, but I'll put him on the spot that it would be great if we had a blog post on regarding 365.com about that. I'm smiling. For those that are listening to this podcast, I'm smiling with a please feel
yes.
look.
Yes. well, that was us today. Good now to everyone, and thanks for joining us. Catch us again next week. Same time, same channel. RRR. yeah, and engage with us throughout the week. You know where to find us. Bye for now.
Yep. Bye-bye.